We're going to be talking about Ahab and Jezebel. When was the last time you read or heard anything about Ahab or Jezebel?
Not a while.
Probably haven't read anything in a long time, or maybe never even really heard of Ahab or Jezebel. Well, as we talk through some of these biblical marriages that we see, and it may not mean biblical marriage as far as being an honoring God marriage, and this particular marriage, Ahab, who was the king of Israel, he married Jezebel, and Jezebel was not an Israelite, and she was someone that worshipped pagan gods, and particularly Baal. And as she worshipped Baal, she had a bunch of priests of Baal, and all sorts of craziness went on in the nation, and the people were very confused, and many fell away from God, and they began to worship Baal. And they had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of priests. And it wasn't until Elijah came and spoke against these priests and performed these amazing miracles. And so amazing that the priests couldn't believe it. And then the Israelites finally said, "Surely our Lord is the Lord of all lords and the God of all gods." And they finally came back to the faith because of these miraculous signs and wonders. And some of us sitting here today may go, well, in the context of my relationship or my marriage, I need something miraculous to happen. And if it does, then I'll stay committed. But if it doesn't, I think I'll move on. Well, we discover that with Ahab and Jezebel, there was a lot of stuff that went on. And this passage right here comes from 1 Kings 21:25. "No one else so completely sold himself to what was evil in the Lord's sight as Ahab did under the influence of his wife Jezebel." Did you know you can influence your spouse for the better or the worse? Did you know you can divert them from God at a pretty rapid pace? Or you can bring them toward God at a rapid pace? It depends on how your life is moving. And some of you had a lifetime with a spouse that really never came to faith or came to faith late in their life, and you may have wondered, what happened? I was following hard after God. Didn't make much sense. But God's ultimately got a plan for everybody, right? So we see this verse and we read that, but it's what happens before this that is so devastating to Ahab and Jezebel. Because they truly went after false gods, particularly Jezebel. That's what her life was all about. And she imposed that on everybody else that she came in contact with. But we come to this text and we discover that it says certain things that are disturbing, and Ahab represents the passive husband. All right, I want to put this into, before we read it, Ahab represents the passive husband, and some of you may be a passive husband. Now, Jezebel represents the controlling wife. So, there's a passive husband, and if there's a controlling wife, what ends up happening is it automatically distorts what God had intended for the beauty of marriage and a marital relationship. And there's all sorts of people that would say, well, you know, if the husband's passive, obviously the wife has to be more aggressive and more of a go-getter and more of a, right? We need to balance each other. But at the same time, the husband, Ahab, he should be the leader in the home and should lead well and honor God with his leadership. It doesn't mean domineering or being somebody that you do this because I said so, right? It's leading because there's trust there and there's this honoring that takes place on both sides of the relationship. So with this in mind, I want us to look at this passage in 1 Kings 21:2-4. Ahab said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth. But Naboth replied, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers. So Ahab went home sullen and angry, because Naboth, the Jezreelite, had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. He lay on his bed sulking and refused to eat. This is a grown man. He didn't get his way, so what does he do? He goes back to his house and he pouts. And he sits on his bed and he won't eat and he refuses to eat and he's sullen and can't believe this. I can't believe he won't give me his land. See, what we don't know here is that in the law, it actually talks about how if you inherit land from your father, the king can't come and take over your land. So what he's saying back to Ahab is, no, you can't have my land. It's not right. You can't just come and take my land. This is my father's land, and it belongs to me now. Because otherwise, what would happen is the land would be owned by the most domineering, powerful people of the day, and they would overcome and overtake all the land, and then the people become slaves again, right? So they set that in the law that if you own lands from your forefathers, that was your land and belonged to you. And someone couldn't come in and just take it from you. Obviously, this was a warring time, and people would come in and take land from other people, but that was set into the law. And we discover that Naboth, he did not want anything to do with his vineyard becoming a vegetable garden. And it also doesn't say this, but in these days, many of the Egyptians would turn their land into vegetable gardens. And the vineyard, if we know anything about a vineyard, the vineyard produces like the vine. There's all sorts of passages that talk about the vineyard in the scriptures, right? We don't find many passages that talk about the vegetable gardens, do we? But the vineyard is a real vibrant source of visual in the scriptures. He wanted to turn the vineyard into a vegetable garden. Is there anything wrong with a vegetable garden? No. But he wanted to annihilate the vineyard and put in a vegetable garden. And so he's sulking. He lay on his bed sulking and refused to eat. So what ends up happening anyway? Well, this is what happens. Here comes the controlling wife. And look what controlling wife says. His wife Jezebel came in and asked him, why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat? He answered her, because I said, right? He's all whiny. Because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in its place. But he said, I will not give you my vineyard. Jezebel, his wife, said, is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I'll get you the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. See the controlling aspect of this? Jumps in, takes control, but I don't know if you noticed this. She belittles her husband with her words. Jezebel, his wife, said, is this how you act as king of Israel? If you're a wife, you may have said, or you're in a relationship, you may have said, man, don't you have any strength? Can't you do anything right? Has that ever come out of your mouth? I can't believe that you would do such a thing. Man, why don't you step up? You're supposed to lead. You're not leading. I'm going to have to lead now. Has that ever come out of your mouth, ladies? And you know what? I think one of the most difficult elements of relationship, particularly if your spouse is not a believer, is trying to follow their leadership when you know that they're not being led by God, that they're being led by their own selfish ambition or whatever it may be. And when that is the case, it is very, very difficult to follow after that individual. But obviously the Spirit gives us discernment, and we need to step up and make choices and decisions. But we are still to honor and respect our spouses. How about she takes over? I'll get you the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, right? She just comes in and says, hey, I'm going to get this for you. I'll do it. I'll get it, and it'll be all right. So go eat and smile. It'll be all right, right? Just let me take care of business, because that's what I do, right? So she goes, and what she does, she devises this plan, and she says, what we're going to do is we're going to get Naboth before the judge, and we're going to get two fools to go and make accusations toward Naboth that he cursed God and he cursed the king. And then what will happen is he'll be executed for that, because those are huge, huge issues that leads to stoning. So what happens is she gets these individuals that really don't care, brings Naboth before the judges, and here's the two, because you needed two people to bring accusation. Can you imagine if this is how it worked today? That it just took two people to lie, and then someone gets stoned? That's what happened in this particular situation. He gets stoned. And what does Jezebel do? She goes up to her husband, get your buns and gear and go take his land, because now he's dead. Go get his land. Go take it. It's for the taking. Go get it. So the husband's call is to lead. And there's three elements of leadership here. As the provider, the husband is called out to provide and to support the family and provide for the family and take care of the family. And the protector, to protect them when dilemmas and strife and tragedy and pain and hurt. And if someone, I'm not just talking about when an intruder comes in, but that's also part of it. Protect their spiritual lives. To protect them so for eternity they won't be apart from God. As men, we are to be protectors. And it's important that we realize that. I think one of the major issues that we have in the church today is that us men aren't stepping up as spiritual leaders. And I know there's a lot of independent women that say, I don't need the man to be my leader. I know how to lead. I'm a good leader. You should see what I do in a corporate setting. I lead bunches of men. Because I'm a leader. And I lead men. And you know what? All right, I get that. But in the context of a beautiful marital relationship, there's a give and take. The husband and wife are working together and are honoring each other and honoring God with their relationship. And as a man, you are called out to be a leader. You may say, I don't know if I have the spiritual gifts to do it. God will and does empower you to do it. And you need to lead and lead well and lead powerfully. And provide for your family and protect your family. And how about this? You're to be the pastor of your family. Do you know a pastor is a shepherd? It means direct your family and lead your family. And a shepherd also protects their family. Like the shepherd protects the sheep. If the shepherd sees one sheep going off out of the 99, you know what that shepherd's going to do? The shepherd's going to go after that sheep, bring it back, and protect it. We're to protect our family. Men, I think we failed in this area in some pretty sad ways. We need to step up. And if you're an uncle, you can still lead. If you're somebody that says, I don't really have any family. I don't really know if I have any influence. You have spiritual family. And there are young people in our community of faith that need you as men to step up and lead. And some of you have been okay with sitting by the sidelines and watching the ladies lead. Because we do have ladies that have great spiritual gifts. And God can honor men's gifts and women's gifts. But I'm calling you guys out. Because I think we've been slack. And we need to be God-honoring men that truly live our lives to help and develop and nurture a spiritual community like a greenhouse where there's this great soil and this nutrient and all this sun coming in and all this beauty. And then you look at the greenhouse, you're like, wow, this is so cool. Don't you want to be able to look at your family like that? And say, man, did you see how that flower sprouted up over there? And that, wow, did you see that? Whoa, look at the herbs and look at the, right? You want to see all the beauty. Because as the provider, the protector, and the pastor, God will hold the husband accountable. And I think this is probably difficult for some. So Jezebel goes and she does all that. And then as soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, get up and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, that he refused to sell you. He is no longer alive, but dead. When Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he got up and went down to take possession of Naboth's vineyard. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tisbite. Now Elijah went into hiding because Jezebel was after him for his life. Jezebel had come after Elijah, and Elijah felt like he was the only prophet left because no one was speaking out for God for fear of their life. And Elijah did speak out for God and spoke boldly and made bold prophecies. And as he did, Jezebel got heated because the prophecy that he made, he said, he performed those miraculous signs and wonders when the altar got consumed by the consuming fire and all the water got absorbed, everything. And the priests of Baal, they could not do the same thing that he did. That's when the people turned and said, surely your God is, our God is the God of all gods and the Lord of all lords. And then he took, and this is when it gets wild, he took all those false prophets and had them slain. Right after that, in 1 Kings 19, Jezebel says, I want his life. Elijah, I am going to take your life, and you are going to be dead by tomorrow. So Elijah flees off into the desert land, but he finds a little stream, and he's by the stream, and the crows come, and they feed him. We're going to do a four-part series on Elijah coming up soon. And his life is fascinating. But Elijah gets called out by God, and you can imagine how afraid he was for his life. But he still steps up, and he goes forth, and he moves forward, and he goes, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah with Tishbite. Go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in Naboth's vineyard, where he has gone to take possession of it. Say to him, this is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property? Then say to him, this is what the Lord says. In the place where dogs lick up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours. How would you like to be the prophet that comes and delivers the message to the king that you are going to die and the dog is going to lick up your blood? You know Jezebel has it out for you and she wants you dead. And Ahab, he's not happy with you either. But you go faithfully and you
share this. You see, husbands, we are accountable to God for our homes. We need to honor God with the way we live our lives before our families, before our spouses. And you may say, well, you know, I've been divorced for a long time. I don't know. My husband died a long time ago. My wife died a long time ago. I'm single. I've been single. This message doesn't pertain to me. I would say, yes, it does. Because we need to model what it means to follow after God. Wherever you are in your life, whether you're single, whether you've been single for a long time, whether you've been single for a short period of time, whether you've been married for a long time or a short period of time, wherever you find yourself, it is incredibly important to follow after God and His priorities and His purpose for your life. And when we do that, all this other stuff starts falling into place. Just like I said last week, God needs to be the number one. And your spouse needs to be the number two. A lot of times we put our spouse before God without even knowing it. A lot of times we put other things before God without even knowing it. We need to sit and ask ourselves and kind of reflect on our spiritual journey and say, all right, God, where am I at? Where do you want me to be? And how can I grow? And how can I become more than I am right now? I did a memorial service up in Duxbury yesterday. And I hadn't seen these four siblings for about 20 years. And they asked me to do their mom's memorial. And I hadn't seen their mom in about that time as well. In about 15 years, I hadn't seen their mom. And she passed at the age of 66. That's pretty young, right? Well, after the memorial service, I had really poured out my heart and shared who Christ is and how He can redeem us. And one of the sons came up to me and he said, you know what? I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual and I believe there's truth in everything. And I believe everybody's spiritual. And I'm very spiritual. And I think there's an angel on my shoulder. When someone has lost a loved one and they're getting influence and advice and conversation with others, and they've philosophically come to this place where God's in everything and God is everything, and there's this pantheism going on, it's very difficult in that situation of loss to say, no, you're wrong. And what I had to do, I had to bite my tongue. And I think you know how hard that is for me. I had to bite my tongue. And I had to say, well, what I've discovered that Jesus has renewed and revitalized and reshaped my life personally. It has revolutionized the way I look at life. He said, that's good. And I said, great. And I don't know what God's going to do with him, but I do know God is faithful. And when we plant seeds, harvest, and all of that, God can grow them. This situation is incredibly difficult. And people that live on them discover that they have to do the repentance, but ultimately, singing at your home. Because you may say, I don't know what's wrong with my son or daughter. Take a look in the mirror. Most of the time it had to do with mom and dad. With the mom and the dad. We need to wake up to the reality of where God placed us for such a time as this. So men, don't say, oh man, I'm a failure. I stink. I'm terrible. I can't do anything right. No, say this. From this day forward, I'm going to be a man of integrity, a man of hope, a man of peace, a man that leads well and honors God with my life. Women, continue to be strong and powerful in the context of the relationship and pour into your husband and help him. Because if we don't, we're not going to have much influence on a society that desperately needs people that love God.